I can't believe they actually have to move this down. Usually I'm the tallest, or one of the tallest. I'll have to tell you, it was an interesting week. I heard Mr. Fay mention last week or the week before he was having all sorts of computer problems, and you know me, you know, computers and I are not best of friends. And I was having all sorts of trouble. And I was really worried because I had my sermonette on my computer at home, but something went wrong. The AOL went down, couldn't access any of the programs, and I've got to print this thing out, okay, so that I can read it. Well, I couldn't do it. So I retyped it on my laptop, which is at work, and brought it home and thought I could print it out there. Well, long story short, got it printed out, and my son fixed my computer, which, of course, is a wonderful thing because I can't do it. So having him around is a real blessing when I have any kind of technical problem. And so I really appreciate that a lot. So with him, though, raising children is quite an experience, which in my case has turned my hair gray. For those of you who are interested, whoever want to see what color my hair is, just come look at my eyebrows and you'll see the remnants of red. Okay, so it can turn your hair gray. And you wonder sometimes if they would just listen. If they would just listen to me when they were growing up, you know, it would be so much easier. Thus is the title of the sermonette, If They Would Just Listen. And I'm sure we've all heard our parents say at one point in time in our life, if you will do what I say, you will do well. Of course, what happens? Most of us don't follow that advice. We don't follow the advice of our parents. What happens? We get off track. And I'm convinced that every generation learns from scratch. They learn the same thing all over again for the first time. It's like the other generation didn't exist. We all have our experiences, and they're cumulative, but it doesn't seem to be transferable necessarily from one generation to the next. When we mess up, we mess up. When our kids mess up, we forgive them. Right? We overlook their mistakes many times as we watch them mature. Learning is a process, so what do? We keep drilling it into them day after day after day after day, and eventually we hope it eventually will seek in. But it takes years and years and years, to quote somebody here. In fact, it takes a lifetime, as we all know. Well, like we have done for our children, God has given us advice, His commandments. And He expects us to follow them. He realizes, is in His eyes, we are children and must learn along the way, just as we experienced with our kids and we did when we were little. And can't you almost hear Him say, if you would just do what I say, then you will do well. Well, rather than me tell you that, better yet, why don't we turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14, and see what he says about that. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Let's listen to what he says here and pay attention to some of these words. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. Well, there's instruction number one. And pray, instruction number two. And seek my face, number three. And turn from their wicked ways, number four. So there's four things right there, if we would just listen. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So what's God saying there? If you will just listen. I'm sure we've all wondered why sometimes we've received blessings and answers to our prayers and sometimes we did not, at least not as yet. And I think it must be related to God's unyielding patience to have us learn lessons. At least I want to explore that concept here this morning, or this afternoon. In reviewing how I helped my own children when they were growing up, I like to think I was consistent, or at least more consistent, giving to them when they did what I asked. When they asked for things following a pattern or event, bad behavior, or they made a bad decision, I usually let them sweat it out. They'd learn a lesson, I thought, as a result, and they usually did. But you know, despite the fact that they learned a lesson with each experience. I wish I had a nickel. How many times do you hear that? I had a nickel for every time they had to learn the lesson all over again. And you know, sometimes though I helped them even though they were still learning. And why did I do that? You probably already answered the question. It's because I loved them. We do pray and ask of our Father, but sometimes the answer is no. Well, why is that? Well, it could be a result of our behavior, or whatever we want might not be in accordance with His will, or we may have to learn a lesson, or our motives are misplaced. Let's look at James 4, in chapter 4, starting in verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 3. And see what it says when the answer to our prayer is no. I'm going to read from the New International Version, which I believe has a good explanation. So it's James 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And I'm going to explore that a little bit later about asking God. When you ask, you do not receive. And why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. But you know, sometimes despite all that, we do get an answer to our prayer, though we're still learning the lesson. Why? Because God loves us, just like we love our children. And everybody who's a parent in here knows what I'm talking about love for your children. It's so deep. It's so committed. It's something that you can't even explain. So multiply that times how many times you want God's love toward us. It's awesome. However, despite the fact that He loves us, that doesn't negate or eliminate His instructions or expectations of us. God loved and still loves the nation of Israel, although they went the wrong way. God is real clear about His expectations. He gives plain instruction as to what He expects, as we read in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. Clarity is not absent in God's word. God did wind up blessing the nation of Israel, however, not right away. They had to learn lessons. Of course, they would have been more blessed, wouldn't they, had they followed God's instruction all the time? Would we not also? Well, how might we do that? Well, let's look at a couple of people here. We know Enoch walked with God. We read that many times. We know Abel was righteous. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And there was another one. His name was Job. And let's turn to Job for a second and just read a brief description of who Job was, of what his character was. It's in Job 1. I'm just going to read verse 1. There was a man in the land of, and I'm going to get this wrong because I always pronounce it wrong. It's either Uz or Uz. I'm going to say Uz and take a risk. There was a man in the land of Uz who was upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. So right from the very beginning of that book, we find out what Job is all about. And we know the story about Job, right? What he went through and the trials that he went through and everything that was taken away from him. And we're going to read that and go to the end of the chapter now of Job 42:10. And we wind out finding that God blessed Job. And why did he do that? Well, he knew his heart, didn't he? Remember, Jesus said at one point in Matthew 23, you don't have to turn there, that to clean the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside might be clean also. Job was blameless. He feared God and shunned evil. While God allowed him to be tested, he stayed faithful to God. His heart was pure. He was that clean vessel. So in Job 42, in verse 10, we learn that, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let's just go down to verse 12 for a second. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. for he had 14,000 sheep, can't even imagine that, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. So he got more than he had before because he was that clean vessel. So that's it, right? We follow God's commandment, do what he says, and be a clean vessel, and that's all we have to do. Well, actually, there's more. And Jesus said, ask, which I mentioned earlier in James 4, 1 through 3. Jesus said, ask. You don't have to turn there either because we're very, very familiar with John 16, 23, where Jesus told us to ask, and whatever we asked of the Father, if we asked in Jesus' name, we will receive it. But that might take some time, won't it? Sometimes it takes learning a lesson. So we have to ask. But still, I don't think that eliminates the other requirements. Follow God's commandments. Be a clean vessel. Now we add ask to that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we read earlier, God said we need to humble ourselves. That was one instruction, remember? We were to pray, which includes, of course, asking. We were to seek God's face, the things above. And we are to turn from our evil ways. If we would just listen. It seems so easy. Wouldn't you be more apt to respond to your children's requests if they obeyed you all the time? The answer is yes. But you wouldn't withhold giving to them if they weren't perfect, would you? Because we'd never give them anything. The same is true with us. If they failed by trying and then tried again and failed again, you'd give to them because they were really trying. Now, we recognize that the answer to our prayer may still be no. God knows why, and we're just going to have to wait to find out. However, God wants to give to us, but sometimes he holds back that request because we're not ready, which I said earlier, or it's not time, or we may not be mature enough. Now, Paul talks about maturity in Ephesians 4. That's going to be our last scripture reference here. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, I think, is where I'm going to start here. Ephesians 4. And we can get the paper to stop sticking. We'll get there. Actually, what Paul's doing here is describing, you know, the church and the many parts that make up the church. Let me actually start in verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till when? Till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it goes on from there. God will answer our prayers. Sometimes we have to be mature enough to be ready for it. But he'll answer our prayers, and we can make it easier on ourselves too by doing what he says, just as our own children make it easier on themselves when they do what we ask. So let me summarize these points that I covered here today. First thing we need to do is follow God's commandments. They're clear, but they're not easy. Second, we need to be a clean vessel, at least striving toward being a clean vessel. It's a process. Pray and ask. My father-in-law used to say, I'm sure many of you heard it, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay? Ask in Jesus' name. Humble ourselves, put him first, put others first. We know our heart just as much as he knows his. He knows ours. Seek God in the things above. Have that vision that Mr. Kylo said a few weeks ago, that vision of where we're all headed. Seek the things above and turn from our old and evil ways. And that's harder than it sounds. It's very difficult. I'm sure we all wake up every morning and say, today's going to be the day. At the end of the day, it wasn't. That's a lot more, isn't it, than just asking and hoping for a response. Yes, God will answer our prayers. But you can see, brethren, we still have a responsibility. It's our obligation. We're the ones that really ultimately decide if we're going to do that. And though we can never earn anything, we still must do what God says. God has made a commitment, a promise, that He will answer our prayers. Doing what He commands would please Him greatly and lead to blessings beyond our expectations. Look at Job. He got twice what he had. God expresses grace to us as we mature into completion. Thank goodness we have a loving and awesome God who knows what's best for us always, if we would just listen.